And behold, a man came up to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go. Sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and the
fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a lot going on in this scripture reading we just heard. A pious but terribly confused young man came to Jesus with a serious question. What good deed must I do to have eternal life? Jesus picked up on the word good and said it applies to God alone. We heard the commandments, misplaced confidence, and a lingering recognition that something was still lacking. Jesus ramped up the law to a degree that the young man wouldn't accept. When he had gone away, Jesus used an illustration to say that it's impossible for a rich man to enter heaven. His disciples, who regarded the blessings of the rich as a sign of God's favor, concluded that if the rich can't be saved, no one can. Jesus essentially said, "You're right. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Then good old Peter, apparently having reflected on Jesus' final words to the young man, "Sell what you possess, give to the poor, and come follow me," called to Jesus' attention that he and his fellow disciples had left everything to follow Jesus. And then Peter asked, "What then will we have?" In the new world, Jesus responded, they would have thrones and dominion. But, he warned enigmatically, many who are first will be last, and the last first. As I said, there's a lot going on in this reading from Matthew, which we just heard. No single sermon, not even an extra long one, could adequately cover everything that's there. There is one central thing, though, on which I'd like to focus this evening. A religious idea shared by the young man and Peter and the rest of us. What must I do, as the young man phrased it? Or, look what we've done, as Peter put it. However it's said, the point is that eternal life, salvation, God's favor, is something that comes to those who have earned it. That's the way the world works. So it's the way that we expect God will work as well. And even though you know better, it's so much a part of life that it's hard to remember that that's not the way it is with God. It's so ingrained in the way we think that we're even tempted to make our sorrow or repentance into a meritorious work. You want forgiveness? You have to be really, truly sorry. If your repentance is genuine and sincere, heartfelt, then God will be pleased with you. But that road dead ends in hell. When's the last time you repented perfectly? Have you ever been so genuine in your sorrow that there wasn't even a hint of holding back? Not even the tiniest bit of mental reservation? And of course, we need to remember that God doesn't say, if you are truly sorry, and sincerely repent of that one sin that really bothers you, I'll forgive you a boatload of sins you don't really care all that much about, not to mention the even greater number of which you aren't even consciously aware. Satan likes the question, "What must I do?" He can use that understanding. Use it to foster either unfounded pride or utter despair, both of which lead to hell. The question that young man should have asked Jesus was, "Teacher, what good deed must you do so that I may have eternal life?" Peter should have said, "Lord, you have left everything Indeed, you've told us that shortly you will lay down even your life on the cross. And why? For us, and for our salvation, that we might be your own and live under you in your kingdom, and serve you in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. What a merciful and loving Savior you are, Jesus. There's no way we could ever deserve anything good from you. And yet you give us all things. Thank you for earning and freely giving what it was otherwise impossible for us ever to have received. Rich or poor, good or bad, entering the kingdom of heaven is completely impossible with man, regardless of who he is or what he's done. But not with God, not with Jesus. With Jesus, even your salvation is not just possible, it's an accomplished fact. God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only Son into death, even death on a cross, for you. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for you. For through holy baptism, you have been united with Christ in his death. You can't kill a dead man. And in Christ, that is, through baptism into Christ, you have been put to death, so that you can be raised not only to newness of life here, but to eternal life when Jesus comes again. Jesus was right to say, there is only one who is good and upright, righteous and holy, and that one is God. But God's goodness extends far beyond mere holiness, for he is good also in mercy and compassion, in his graciousness and patience, in his overflowing steadfast love and faithfulness. And so we take the words of the psalmist and say, O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen.